Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Could you be the most beautiful girl in the world? This is music of Prince. The most beautiful girl in the world. Obviously, we had to do this. I mean, the whole world is reeling in shock at the death of Prince, who, from what we hear, died at the age of 57, and this happened on Thursday. All right, so before we continue with the show, let's just look at the facts, okay? The facts as they stand are such that authorities found him unresponsive. This is in an elevator and was unable to be revived from CPR attempts. He had been battling the flu for several weeks and was hospitalized. I believe this was on the 15th of April after his plane made an emergency landing in Illinois. He was later released to recover at home. Before his hospitalization, he had postponed two shows he was scheduled to play in Atlanta as part of his piano and a microphone tour. So that's as far as we know for now. Obviously, internet being internet, there's all kinds of rumors that are milling around. Everybody's talking about what they think might have happened to him. But that's what's happening right now. I think one of the most captivating thing for me that I came across was a comment that was made by yet another legendary musician, Eric Clapton, who was at some point being interviewed. Now, this is somebody who's very revered in the music business. You know, his royalty in general as an artist, you know, somebody who a lot of artists look up to and respect. So he was interviewed and he said that, as a matter of fact, he was asked how it felt to be good at what he does in terms of being one of the best guitar players. And he literally came out and said, look, I don't know how it feels. Why don't you ask Prince? So I think that really captures the kind of artist that Prince was. Hence, the kind of tribute that we're seeing on the internet and just everywhere is fitting for the kind of artist that he was. May his soul rest in peace.
Ladies love O'Neal. Yeah, baby.
Central, double O-C, O'Neal on Cliff Central. O-C, double O-C, O'Neal on Cliff Central. O-C, double O-C, you're listening to O'Neal on Cliff Central.
Yeah, baby.
All right, welcome to O'Neal on Cliff Central. My name is O'Neal. Gina will be joining me shortly. We have yet another awesome show. We also have a Donald 1 hour special happening the last hour of the show. Arguably one of the baddest ballads of all time. This is Prince and the Revolution. Purple Rain is the name of the song. Do you have any memories of the song?
Yeah.
You do?
A whole lot of it. Hey.
Uh-huh.
These were some of the musicians that I really respected.
Okay.
In the US. And he's only 7 years older than I am.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
I've like spent my whole life, you know, listening and admiring his music.
I mean, the man played 27 instruments. Like, who does that? Some of the instruments, we don't even know their names.
Yeah. That's how special he was. I mean, it's such a loss to have lost a great legend like Prince. You know.
Anyway,
I mean, after Michael Jackson, you know.
Yeah.
and now it's Prince. And then
there was obviously the rivalry back in the 90s, in the days, at some point.
Absolutely, yeah.
Comparisons were drawn between the two of them. Yes, and
but I thought everyone was unique in their own way.
No, certainly, certainly. Yeah, yeah. And if you think about it now, I think about it in hindsight and I realize, in a way, it was actually foolish to try and compare the two of them.
No, of course.
If you look at how different what they do is,
yes,
or was, like,
yes, yes,
in terms of the music, the style, and everything, it's just worlds apart.
Yeah, no, they are totally far apart from each other. I think with Prince that he can play so many instruments. Yeah. Michael couldn't do that. I mean,
certainly,
he could play, yeah, I know, a number of instruments. Yes, yes. But he was never into instrument. He was more a vocalist.
Yeah.
But if you look at his days with the Jackson 5, when he grew up, yes, they were into instruments. But once he went into pop music and went solo, he just left the rest to, you know, the band members to do that.
Certainly.
So, yeah, but Prince, he died playing his instruments, you know.
And he was in the middle of a tour. He was putting together a tour. I believe he had already performed in Atlanta.
Yes.
He was going to carry on with the tour. And
Yeah.
Just
sad to have lost him, you know.
Very
while
sad.
Still playing.
Very sad. I think, yeah, you know, you can tell from just the kind of tributes that are coming in. I mean, from the likes of Elton John referring to him as possibly one of the best performers he's ever witnessed in his life. I mean,
no, sure,
Elton John
really was.
To say that says a lot about Prince.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show once again. The gentleman I've been talking to, his name is Gabriel. So, what do I call you? Are you a saxophone player? Is there a title to it? Is there a fancy title to it?
Well, yes, I am a saxophonist, but
okay,
I think just like Prince, I play a whole lot of instruments,
okay,
you know, and saxophone, well, I've been playing saxophone for the last 22 years now.
22 years?
Yeah, on a full time. But before then, I was into guitar and bass and drums.
And what does it take for one to become a saxophonist? I mean, you played other instruments and you still play other instruments.
Yes.
But for us to now refer to you as a saxophonist,
yes,
what does it take for that to happen?
Well, I think the first most important is to have a will. You know, where there's a will, there's always a way. Initially, when I started as a guitarist, but then I had this legend that used to live in Alexandria. His name was Ntemi Piliso. He was the late leader of the African Jazz Pioneers. I don't know if you know of that band. We had a music school in Alex called Alexandria Arts Center. And when I met him then, like I said, I was into, you know, very rhythmic instruments.
Mm-hmm.
But then he suggested that, you know, I try saxophone, as there weren't many young people, you know, going into to study saxophone. And I said, you know, but the problem is I don't have my personal instrument, especially saxophone. He said, no, I'll provide one. But because music instruments are almost alike, you know, if you can play a major scale on piano, you should also learn to play a major scale on your saxophone. That's where you start. Once you can be able to figure out the board, you know, how to position your fingers,
yeah,
on the board and play long notes, because that's where you initially start. You have to play long notes, you know, do, then maybe something like two beats, you,
yeah,
know, that you familiarize yourself. Because when you start, it sort of tickles, you know, your lips.
Okay.
Because it's not something you are used to. But once you keep blowing, you get used to it, you adjust, then you start playing, you know. But yeah, initially, like I said, you have to start with learning your scales and then, you know, being showed around the board how to figure out the notes.
Does having a great voice help in being able to play a saxophone?
No, not really.
It's got nothing to do with that.
Totally. It's got totally nothing. I mean, I have known so many great musicians, vocalists particularly, that could sing very well but cannot play saxophone.
So what's the science behind it? What is it? Is it, do you use your diaphragm to blow? What is it? What is
definitely, definitely. You, when you blow the saxophone, it's unlike weightlifting where you use your chest, you know, to store air. With saxophone, you use your diaphragm. The same applies to trumpet and trombone. Woodwind and brass instruments, it requires that you build a very good diaphragm. Be able to store enough, you know, air and be able to blow. But while blowing, you're also inhaling, you know, in between, because you can play a long notes that last, let's say, 12 beats. But before the 12 beat ends, you must have been able to suck in more so that you can continue to be able to play the next other notes. So, yeah, it's initially when I started, it wasn't that I didn't move straight to saxophone. I started with clarinet, because clarinet was known to be the most difficult instrument to play. And that's what attracted me to the clarinet, because I've always wanted to play a woodwind. But at least with the encouragement of Ndemi, I tried the saxophone one day, but it didn't sound right. Then I said, no, I would rather prefer to start with clarinet. And he said to me, you know what, I could hardly play clarinet myself because it's quite difficult to play. Then I said, then if it's difficult, that's what I want to try.
Nice. Now, is there anyone who comes to mind who inspired you to play saxophone?
Yeah, well, a number of South African giants that I came across with the late Zakesi Nkosi, the late he was a father to one musicians. They used to call him, his name slips my mind, but he, Zakesi Nkosi, is like the father figure of township jazz. And Ndemi learned as well. They went to, they all studied at Roman Catholic school in Alex, and that's where they studied, you know, theory of music, how to read and write music. But Zakes was far older than Ndemi, but they both had their own separate bands. And then the other guy that I came across again was Big Voice Jack Leroli. He played penny whistles. I'm sure you know the Leroli young brothers in Soweto that are playing penny whistles. Jack was a brother to their father. They were two brothers and they grew up playing penny whistles together. So, but there was something unique about Jack that that sort of attracted me to him, was that he could play double and treble penny whistle at the same time. And you know, he would have the one playing the melody and he would have others playing harmony at the same time. So that made me inquisitive as to, you know, wanting to figure out how he comes to be able to play. Yes, the coordination of the instruments. Then I also, you know, went to his house in Soweto in Deep Kloof. I would sleep over sometimes, you know, and said, Project, I really want you to help me understand, to at least leave this behind. You know, you don't have, if you die, you don't have to take it to the grave. And I was fortunate that most of these old guys, they were always willing to impart the information, you know, and the skill. And I also made it my business from then that I would always teach up in, you know, coming artists that I come across to continue with what they did for me, you know. So I went on to open up a music school called Our Kind of Jazz Music School in Alex. And we also have a music school with some of my friends in Mabopane called Asai, that is in Mabopane Section B, just behind the police station. And we have the same ideas to impart this music to young people so that there's continuity of what we do, you know.
Is there interest among young people to Absolutely. Playing saxophone.
Yeah, there is a whole lot. I mean, in my lifespan, I've taught plus minus 2,500 kids how to play saxophone and clarinet only. I'm not talking about guitar, bass, you know, drums and other instruments like trumpet and trombones. Just the saxophones. There's more than 2,500 that I taught.
So between the saxophone and all other instruments,
yeah,
when you're teaching someone, which one is more difficult in your opinion?
I'll say all instruments are the same.
It's the same, basically.
Yeah, it is. Okay. I mean, it's same applies to keyboard as well, you know. Like I said, you have to learn the scales. That's the entry into any instrument.
Okay, so that's the foundation.
And figure out, yes, and figure out the board as well, you know. Once you get the idea of how to approach the board in terms of scales and chords, then it becomes literally easy as you progress in a later stage.
All right, if you just joined us, welcome to the show. In studio today, I am hanging out with a man who, he plays saxophone. He's a saxophonist. And right now we're playing a song called Alex.
Alex,
yeah. I noticed most of your songs, it's names of locations.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on the other side. This is Gabriel.
Yeah.
So would this be what you call township jazz?
Absolutely.
So this is
township jazz. That's township jazz.
Is this from an album?
Yes, it's from an album titled Mzansi Jive. Mm-hmm. That was produced. My producer was Conrad Sicubu. I'm sure you know
that's
him.
That's a legend. Right?
Yeah. I mean, those are guys that I worked with, you know, for quite a long time. So when I recorded our album with the band, my band used to be called Kwadi, meaning a gathering of musicians, you know. Because initially I used to call it Alex Jazz Band, but when we got a recording deal, I felt, let me give it, you know, an African name, a very appropriate name. So, but we had to vote, you know. There were eight members of the band, so we had to vote to agree on a name. And then five of us agreed that Kwadi was an appropriate name. Nice. Three of them were saying, now Alex Jazz Band, it's perfect. And but, you know, majority rules. So that's how it became Kwadi.
Just educate us a little bit on Township Jazz.
Yeah.
Its origin, where it comes from, and what inspired it.
Well, like I said earlier, I said, you know, there used to be legends that are the father figures of Township Jazz. If you talk of a great guy like Ntemi Piliso, or you'll be talking of Zex Nkosi, or you'll be talking of the great pen whistler Jack Lerole. Jack was more into Kwela when Ntemi and Zex Nkosi were into Marabi, because, you know, there are names for this.
So there are subgenres within.
Yes, yes. You have Mbakanga, and you have Kwela, and you have Marabi. Marabi is, it was a concept taken from American big band style, you know, but also using saxophones. Mm-hmm. But with Kwela, you have penny whistles as the dominant leading melodies in the music. And when it comes to Mbakanga, you'll have a rhythm instruments, like you'll have a rhythm guitar with a lead guitar and a bass, no keyboards, and you'll have one saxophone leading all the melodies. That is Mbakanga. That's the different styles about the music, but they all encompasses jazz, you know, the different, you know, jazz styles that we had in the country. And I mean, they have created bubblegum music, you know, from the very same styles. You had guys like Kondri Zikubu coming out, you know, embracing bubblegum, and a whole lot of these other musicians that were not able to play jazz, but it was a quick way of playing, you know. Like today, you have Kwaito.
Yes,
Kwaito is also a sub-product of bubblegum.
Certainly.
And but all these musical styles, the nicer part is that they are homemade music. And like I said, with the jazz categories that we have of the music, I would today agree that Kwaito, it's also our new jazz format, you know, because
it derives from
exactly. From, I mean, even the late Nelson Mandela, you know, was happy to hear that it is music made by youth, you know, and made in our country. And he, I mean, there were times, you know, you'll see him dancing when the music was played, you know, that tells you that. Though I knew that Mandela identified with jazz, and especially when you talk of Zex Nkosi, he knew the music of those guys. And there are a whole lot of other musicians that had died, because the foundation of this music was Sofatown and Alexander. And then you had Township in East Rand, like the one I would remember very well would be Springs. And you had places like Katlehong. You had a whole lot of great jazz musicians.
What was the benefit though, for you jazz players at the time? Was it financial? Was it just the recreational? Was it a way of dealing with an obviously challenging period in the history of this country, I mean, during the struggle,
yeah,
what was the benefit there for playing music? And talk to me about consumption as well. Was there an audience, and did they pay for festivals, or did they buy the music?
Yes, yes, yes. This music has, though it has evolved, but there has always been clientele, people that were, you know, ready to even buy LPs, because music then were all on LPs and 45s.
Yes.
And I mean, I also have a collection from my family that because it was a music that was played within my family, you know, my uncles, my relatives, they all had collection of jazz music. So it was easier for me to play music because I have an archive of, you know, collection of songs that I've grown up, you know, listening. And they also had a whole lot of, you know, American jazz, you know, and even Cuban jazz. And it was, yes, I would say consumption was there, but it was difficult to perform music because you were always watching for your life, you know, as you move around. You had to always carry a permit wherever you travel.
Interesting.
Yes, and so you could... There was a song that even Demi composed. It's called Sip and Fly. Mm. Meaning if you are anywhere in the city, for example, if you are drinking, drink, but don't relax, you know. Sip and fly, because if
so
the police...
could happen.
Exactly. If the police were to pick you up, you know, you'd have to explain yourself. And then because people were always having to carry, you know, their ID books wherever they go. And for example, if you were Motswana, you know, they would be expecting you to be carrying Lekwalo la Mosepele, you know, which was a document only made for Tswana people, you know.
Ah.
And then if you are from Venda, you'll have to have one that, you know, comes from Venda. And you were classed that you are not... You are not, if you are in Joburg, you have to have some proof,
a document,
yes,
yeah,
that you are either working. But if you are not working as a musician, I mean, they would pick you up and say that's lofroskap, you know, that means you are just one of those,
yeah,
lazy people that are not looking to find employment. So that's then, I mean, if they were to pick you up, sometimes you'd be lucky, they'll pick you up and take you straight, not to jail, but into a company and get you a job right there and then.
Have you had any bad experience at any point?
Well, I have, you know, I have had my fair share of bad experiences. Mm. Yeah, but I've always been one person that, you know, don't want to dwell much on
the,
you know,
too,
the bad, and want to, you know, push the good more, because like I said, it was not easy growing up, you know, in townships. And there were times where, like I said, you know, I used to study just up the road in there used to be a school called Johannesburg Art Foundation. And every time I were to go into the school, when I come out, I'll find the security police, you know, just monitoring the school. And every time they see black students, because it was the only multiracial school, you know, where you could mix, have mixed, you know, races coming together. It was a graphic and a fine art school. So I used to come out there and find them waiting outside, and they say, hey, come here, you know. And sometimes I would even have to buy my way, you know, when I have money.
Mm.
I'd just say, guys, you know, can I buy you a drink? And sometimes you find someone who's nice and said, give us some money. Sometimes they'll just say, no, man, we have to take you to the police station. And well, but luckily, for some mysterious reasons, I always found a way to come out, you know, without having to be locked in a cell. Because I also had police friends that I knew in different locations. Like in Hillbrow, I had a couple of them that I knew in LAX and most of the surrounding townships. So I'll always phone someone to say, man, I'm in trouble with the law. Can you please bail me out?
I actually can't imagine you being in trouble.
Yeah, I've gone through my fair share. Yeah, but you know, some of these things, I think they make you more strong, you know.
Certainly, they
and
do.
Yeah, you have to.
In the studio right now, I am with Gabriel. He's a saxophonist. I'm going to ask him to just play something for us. Let's see how it works.
Solo.
Yeah, just do a solo for us.
Okay. I wish I had.
I'm told there's a process you have to go through, like you have to warm up.
Yeah.
Is this something that's important?
Yeah, it is, because sometimes you find that on most times you are using a reed.
Okay.
And when the reed dries up, you know, it needs moisture. So you either wet it or you have to blow, you know, repeatedly over some maybe 10, 20 minutes just to warm it up.
Okay.
But I suppose mine has been warmed up for 2 days. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, well, the floor is yours.
Okay.
Gabriel is going to play for us. We also have more guests joining us soon on the show. Don't move.
Okay, so I'll play you a bit of Pata Pata.
Come on, boys, let's do this. On 1, 2, 3, let's go.
You listen to a Pillow Cliff Central. Radio has never been this good. Pillow Cliff Central. WOC. Pillow Cliff Central. Radio has never been this good. Pillow Cliff Central. WOC. WOC.
Thank you.
Gabriel, and this one is called Petersburg.
Petersburg, yeah, man.
How do you come up with these titles?
Well, I happened to be in Petersburg one day. I was playing with my band there. Mm-hmm. And I just heard this melody come, you know, while we were warming up, you know, to perform. It was a wedding of a friend. And that's why I gave the song the title Petersburg, because that's where I composed the melody.
Mm.
You know, it just literally walked in and said, play me. And I just played a bit, about two bars of the melody. And then I said to a bass player, you know, can you swing on E flat? Then he swinged, you know.
I have no idea what you mean by that, by the way. Yeah,
you know, swing, it's the tempo.
Okay.
At which the music is played.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, let's talk about music now in terms of the albums you have, and are you doing this for commercial purposes? Do you have albums out in stores?
Well, I have music online. Mm. Gwadi, I had the album with a whole lot of stores. But I noticed that, you know, we weren't making enough money. And because, you know, people are copying the music, you know, they buy one CD and then they would make copies and sell them at every street corner.
Mm.
And you had spent thousands of rands, you know, to try and record your material and hope to make, you know, some living. And I mean, this is a band, you know, there's a whole lot of people involved in doing this production. But then I noticed that, you know, we weren't doing well because of, you know, people have access to these computers and everybody can just make a copy of your music. That's then I abandoned, you know, the releasing of CDs, and I went online. I have music at reverbnation.com. And I have music at soundcloud.com. And I also have a whole lot of, you know, music and videos on YouTube as well.
Do you have a team that helps you with this, that you work with?
No, I literally do everything by myself. You
That's
know?
Amazing.
Yeah, you always have to, yeah, I suppose, catch up with,
yeah,
you know, the new ways of making, you know, business. So I thought, I have to learn. I mean, initially it was difficult, you know.
Yeah.
I had to figure out how to work around a computer and stuff. But, you know, yeah, eventually, yeah, I've managed to, yeah. And I've always been online for the last 10, 15 years now. You know, I've been focused more online and avoiding,
okay,
to release CDs, yeah, to the public. Yeah.
Okay. So, your body of work, music-wise, do you have a lot of music that you haven't released?
I have a whole lot. Mm. Jesus, I have. I have thousands of songs, mm-hmm, that, you know, I have recorded, and I just, you know, release a few tracks, say every month.
Yeah.
It was only last year that I think I stayed about the whole year without releasing anything, and because I also wanted to focus a lot on the young people, you know.
Mm.
Because there has been a demand, you know, kids knocking at my house and said, you know, can you please help me? I really want to learn to play saxophone. Some will be saying, I want to play clarinet. Others, I want to play guitar, you know. So I felt I need to take a break, you know, from releasing music, but also give these guys some head start. Obviously, they need it, you know, to because, you know, it becomes sad that you come across someone that knocked at your door and said, can you please help me? And then next time, because you weren't able to pay attention to their needs at that time, and you find that that young person is involved in nyaope or drugs, you know, or is a hazard to the community.
Yeah, when
because
you could have
when
health.
You could have gave, you know, a head start. So
yeah.
So thus I've managed to, you know, to divide my time between teaching and doing my music.
All
and also travel with my band, because My band, the current band I'm working with now, it's called the African Jazz Hounds. I do a whole lot of, you know, traveling with them. But mostly, this is the third generation of my band. They are students that I have taught. And I took them, you know, and accepted them to play with me in the band. Also to give them exposure.
Yeah.
But above everything, also to make them realize that music is business. You can live from music on a day to day. But also while teaching them, but also teach them the business side of the music, you know, so that they can at least have, they can be grounded, you know, be able to face challenges. Nice. One day if I happen not to be around them, you know, because yeah, we all don't know where we go. Yes, I know where I come from, but I think I owe it to them to help them balance.
Very, you know, noble.
That there's the business side. Yes, we all love to play and be able to, I mean, really learn how to play the instrument. But it's also good to teach them how to make business out of what they have learned.
Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen, let me thank you very much for taking the time to come and, you know, share your knowledge with us.
Yeah.
And yourself as an artist.
Yeah.
With us. When next are you performing?
I'll be having a gig in Sun City, that is next week.
Okay.
Yeah, I've just came back from Sun City. We played there, but there seems to be a demand for the band, you know, there. Because I suppose there's a whole lot of tourists that comes and don't even know how South African music sound like. So there has been
demand.
A company, you know, mm-hmm. that markets us there. I think after Sun City, we'll be going to Morula Sun. After Morula Sun, definitely we'll be in the East Rand Carnival City.
Thank you very much, sir. Come back here again and share more with us when you have time.
No, I promise I will.
All right, Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We've got Donald who'll be joining us, a full 1 hour special exclusive to O'Neill on Cliff Central and Cliff Central. That's coming up at the top of the hour. Stand by, do not move. Good afternoon.
I can't live, yeah, yeah, knowing that you're right there. You're incredible. Power of love. That's the reason for the circumstances. Hey. Power of love.
Award-winning artist, superstar, platinum-selling artist, Donald is here with us in the studio. This is Power of Love.
Yeah, this is it's known as Power of Love, but it's actually, yes, Never Let You Go.
Yeah, no, we don't care about anything else.
People sing what they remember in the song, man. Yeah.
Yeah, man. But was this from your project or Heavy K's project?
It was from my project, actually. So it's my song. Featuring Heavy K. I worked with him. He worked on the production of the song. But basically, this was from the special project that I did, which was almost like a repackage of my current album, Black and White. Mm-hmm. So this was the repackage called, it was solely dedicated to DJs. So I was working with different popular DJs on one album, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's where this one comes from. It's called Black and White 2.0 DJs Edition. So I had Heavy K, I had Prince KB, I had Black Motion, I had Euphonic, mm-hmm. I had Da Capo, I had jeez, man, the best of the best. Who else is there that I might have forgotten? You know, but basically all the best DJs that you can think of in South Africa, I worked with them on one album, 2.0 DJs Edition. So yeah, that song comes from there.
First of all, let me just say, this is a special show in that you were literally my first guest on the show.
Oh yeah,
when I kicked off the show.
Yeah. So, I remember that was in 2014.
Yeah, about two years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So this must be definitely, man.
It's a special day.
We've come full circle, man.
We have come full circle, and listen, you're showing no signs of stopping, man. How many awards have you won so far?
Awards. I think I'm on five. Yeah, five awards. I mean, I don't have that many awards compared to, like, you know, your AKAs and Casper and your Vest, you know. But, like, you know, I've won some of the most important awards, I guess, you know, in my genre, in what I do as an artist, and just in anyone's career, you know, you wanna know that at some point in your life you were the best in your genre, you know.
Listen, this is no shade or anything, it's just an observation.
Yeah.
Do you think awards, it's becoming easier to win awards compared to, say, 2 years ago backwards?
Or 5 years ago. Man, I don't know, man. I think what awards stand for it's really changing.
Yeah.
It's changing in such a way that it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as it used to mean before. And I'll make an example for you. I think nowadays, an artist who doesn't win an award doesn't necessarily mean that they're not doing well.
Yeah.
You see, in the past, you know, the guys who win awards were always, like, you know, the guys in the forefront, and, you know, the guys who are like everyone is expecting them to kill the game or whatever. Yeah. But nowadays, some guys who are killing the game don't even get the recognition. Like, I see a lot more of that happening than in the past. And so it's like, also, artists have gone to a point where they feel like, actually, you know what, maybe it's not as important as I used to think, so it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, look at what Casper has done, you know, with the Summers. I don't know if I should say that, you know, but, you know, I think him and his team felt like they didn't want to be part of the biggest award ceremony in South Africa. And for me, that should tell you a story.
You know, it's interesting. Funny, we're talking about awards, and I was just looking at this Prince's tribute.
Yes, yes.
And over his career,
he's
had about, I think he's won about 7 Grammys.
Okay.
And you look at someone like Kendrick
Which
Lamar.
Is weird.
Kendrick Lamar has more Grammys than Prince.
Yes, sir. Kanye West has got like 20 something than Prince, and does not make sense. It does happen like that sometimes someone's career.
Do you think it's because now there's the voting system? And how do you feel as an artist when, you know, your work is not good enough?
Yeah.
It's like you are nominated
and
then you have to engage in the process of having to ask for people to vote for you. How does that make you feel as an artist?
I mean, I there are a lot of dynamics that, you know, some award ceremonies kind of implement, and, you know, some things that we are not necessarily, you know, as excited about as artists. And I think, you know, for me, the positive with the whole thing of getting, you know, the fans to vote for you is that that's an opportunity for you to connect with your fans.
Engage,
once again, engage with your fans. You know, fans, they love that. They love to know that you are a human being. You can be on their level and you can talk to them. You can, you know, fans are there to support. They love to support. So knowing that you do need their support and you are engaging with them is a pretty big thing. So for me, that's a plus. But I feel like maybe the other factor is that a lot of award ceremonies make money out of those voting systems, you know.
Of course.
And we have nothing to do with that money, because in South Africa you don't really make money to when you win an award. I mean, it's only just recently with the other award ceremonies that just introduced I can say Metro here, FM. You know, They did that for the first time. When you win an award, you won 100,000. So it's a totally new thing. But with all the other award ceremonies, man, there's nothing like that. So you spend money. Yeah. You spend money to, like, market and do PR or whatever for votes.
For
and
an
campaign.
Award ceremony that is
making money from, you know, basically making money to have your name on the nominees list.
Yes.
But you don't make anything out of it. Yeah. you know, it can get a little bit unfair, but
political,
you know what I'm saying. So it's much bigger than me on my own, you know what I'm saying. But I know that a lot of artists get affected by these things.
If you just joined us, I'm hanging out with Donald for a full hour, and we're just picking his brain on his career and just life in general.
Yeah,
and we're also catching up with on how he's been doing, what has been happening in his life. Now, from the time you had your first break,
yes, sir,
to now,
mm-hmm.
What has been the biggest achievement according to you?
It'll be very easy for me to say when I got my first international award nomination,
mm-hmm.
With the BET, yeah. You know, which was, I mean, it's like for African artists, that's like the biggest nomination, yeah. You can ever get. But I would definitely have to say that it was actually this past week, you know, when I announced my first live DVD recording, which is happening on the 19th of August at Carnival City. For me, that it does not get any better than that. I feel like everything that I've been through, you know.
But for me, the question would be, why did it take this long? I feel like it's something that you should have done a long time ago. I mean, I've seen you perform on stage. Your vocal range is unbelievable. Why has it taken you this long?
It's taken this long because, you know, I've always felt like, you know, I watch a lot of international artists, you know. I watch their careers. I learn quite a lot of things from them. And one of the things that I kind of picked up from artists who make the biggest impact are the ones that, one, don't rush for anything, number one. Number two, they pace themselves very well. And when it comes to, you know, DVD recordings, they create, how can I put this, experiences for their fans. But to create an experience and to tell a very meaty story, you need time in the industry. You need experience in the industry.
Yeah.
You need to have enough catalog. You need to have enough songs, you know, that people know. You need to have enough number one songs. And 2 years ago, I mean, I was still a baby in the industry. I still didn't have enough, a big enough story to tell.
Mm.
And that's the reason why I decided, you know what, I'm gonna at least give myself 4 years, and that's like two albums and an extra repackaged album later.
Yeah.
You know, so I can tell you this, in the past 4 years, I've released over 60 songs.
Yeah.
And for me, that's where you wanna get. You wanna get to the point for you to start doing something like a DVD. A DVD for me is not just another show; it's a storytelling opportunity. It's where you kind of take people through your journey, take people through every step that got you to where you are today. You know, I want to be a legend in the African, you know, music industry. And for you to be a legend, you've got to tell your story. People need to know where you come from and all the things that you've been through. And that's the reason why I've taken this long, man. I think this is the perfect time because from here on, I'm moving into the, you know, a totally different, you know, phase of my career. You know, I mean, it's been, I mean, I've been in the industry since 2005.
Yeah.
But I've only, you know, been a solo artist since 2009. And that's how many years now? That's 8 years? That's 8 years in the industry as a solo artist. So for me, there's just so much that I still have to do because I was only really known by the public since 2012. So I'm still a baby to a lot of people.
No,
I'm still very young.
I think
you've
earned your stripes.
Exactly.
Careers nowadays, they take like 2 years.
Yeah. Like they're very quick. Like someone just gets in, they decide I want to rap. And then a year later, they've got the biggest song in the country. Boom. You know? So.
Was that shade?
No, man. I'm just. That's just how things are. Things are. It's not shade at all. The industry is fast paced now. And
no,
the
it
internet
is. It
is helping with that too, you know? So yeah, man, this is a perfect time for me to do this. And listen, the DVD recording, for me, the idea of a DVD recording is like, wow, boom. You know, I watch people like Beyonce put together a tour, and it's like something from, she takes the thing so serious, she doesn't sleep, she goes through sicknesses in between, like I'm going through right now, you know, to put together an amazing experience. That's why people like Beyonce, their live performances will forever stay in our minds, and you know, and you know, it will always impact us in a huge way, you know.
Because and of how much work they put in,
you know. And that's me, man. That's who I wanna be. So people must definitely expect something explosive, not like any other show they watch every single week, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Now, the one thing people don't know about, I'm sure most people know that, but you actually sell records.
Yes, like, I've sold quite a few.
You're one of the most selling dance artists in South Africa.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think
probably the most in terms of male artists. Yeah, I'm the only.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's not talked about a lot. Why do you think that's the case?
I don't know, man. I think the hype of an artist, the hype of artists, is very different. You know, people focus on different things when they talk about an artist. Mm. And I think I'm one of the artists, maybe, and I could be wrong, but I think that maybe because I don't have enough controversy in my life, you won't hear many things being said on the papers, you know, many controversial things being said on the papers. So I don't get enough, maybe I should say, talkability on social media, because my life is, it looks like it's squeaky clean, because I prefer to keep my personal life as personal and private as possible.
Do you think people who are constantly in the papers want to be in papers?
Some of them I do believe yes,
they want to be in papers.
Some of them I do believe yes, they do want their attention. So I'm not one of those. I want the attention when I'm doing something, you know, musical, something
Is it then possible, given the landscape today, is it then possible to be a talented artist and a performer such as you?
Yeah.
And to be able to generate enough bars with just talent alone without necessarily relying on a bit of controversy? Mm. I mean, this is something that we're seeing the world over. Controversy does sell.
I wouldn't say sell.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't say sell, but it gets the right attention, and if you're smart enough, then you can turn it into money. But not everyone is smart enough to turn controversy into real money. You know,
you think Casper Invest is turning it into money?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Is that a good example of somebody who's using
Definitely using his controversy for, you know, to make a living, you know, and to sustain his career. I think Casper is a very smart businessman, man, you know? Mm. That's how I can explain him. So for me, I would say not necessarily. You know, controversy doesn't necessarily equals to money.
Yeah.
Talent on its own doesn't necessarily equals to money.
Yeah.
But talent, determination, and professionalism, and everything, and all those things, it definitely does equals to money. But it might not have as much hype as, you know, as controversy.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, I mean, I'm a true example of that. You know, we've really succeeded in a lot of ways in terms of selling music.
Yeah,
you know, the numbers, I mean, I Over the Moon as a song on its own is over a million digital downloads right now, probably one of the highest, you know, sold songs in the past 3 years in this country on its own as a song, you know. Nice. And you know, that's just what it is. Music is more for me, and by the way, it's all a decision. Every artist decides where they want to be placed, how they want to be positioned, and I decided that I just want my music to be what speaks for me, and yeah, man, the sales will come.
And speaking of that, it seems your career, based on your audience and the type of music you. Yeah.
What's your handle? Sorry, I'm sorry.
O'Neal Africa. O'Neal Africa.
O'Neal
Africa. One word.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It seems your career is predicated on pleasing women.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it something you intend to do?
A bit of both.
Okay.
A bit of both. I'll tell you. Because of the kind of music that I've listened to over the years.
Yeah.
The kind of artists, you know, that I've listened to over the years, it has kind of become a big part of who I am to sing for women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been listening to R&B music and love songs for as long as I can remember, you know, from Luther Vandross, a bit of Michael Jackson, but moving into the 90s, Brian McKnight, Boyz II Men, Usher, going into the new school, Trey Songz, Chris Brown, I mean, need I say more, you know, those are all the artists that I kind of, you know, get a lot of inspiration from, and, It only makes sense. I'm a crooner, man. You know, I mean, Maxwell. You know, there's a bit of Maxwell there somewhere in my journey. And it comes very easy for me to get on stage and kind of attract women's attention.
Yeah, you take off your shirt. That's why.
Before I even do that, man, I do get that attention.
Is that part of the act, though?
Yeah, that is all part of that. That is one of the, you could say, the calculated things. I mean, when I came into the industry, I was as skinny as a stick.
Okay. Brother.
Very skinny. I thought that I was hot and sexy at the time. But now that I look at the pictures, I look back into the pictures, I'm not so sure about it, you know. But I think, you know, I then decided, you know what? In 2 years' time or 3 years' time, I need to be an attractive musician because females love attractive men. You know, okay. They love attractive artists. Artists that they can look at. They can listen, yes, mm-hmm. listen to the message, but they can still look at and fantasize. You've got to be a fantasy if you want to be nice. A crooner. You know what I mean? So I worked on it. I went into the... Actually, today, if you look at that guy there, mm-hmm. that big guy with big muscles is my trainer.
Okay.
I started gymming with that guy 4 years ago. That time I was still playing around, but he basically has made me, you know, kind of...
I see.
The man that I am today.
I see,
you know?
I see.
It's so, working. So, yeah, man, it's all just in the work. The decisions you make to become who you want to be, you have to put in the work. So I put in the work to get to this.
Where do you
point.
Find the inspiration to keep going? I'm sure that days when you feel like maybe quitting
yeah.
because of the challenges that you may come across. But where do you find the inspiration as Donald?
Man, it's one thing I'll tell you, O'Neill, that it's not easy, number one. You know, it's not an easy task to kind of always keep level-headed and keep focused. There are a lot of things out there in the world that are there to distract you, you know. But I believe that where I come from has a lot to do with who I am today, you know, how I was raised, you know, by my parents. My mother is a really huge part of who I am, and she reminds me every single day that I need to do good. Mm. If I start misbehaving, I think of her like she's like my wake up call. You know, every time I start wanting to, you know, misbehave, I think, damn man, if my mother found out
yeah.
that I was doing this, I would be in trouble and I wouldn't be able to live with myself. So I think a lot to do with how I was raised as a young boy, and I just, I'm one of those people, man. I just don't want to be looked at in a bad way because I just don't
it's
feel like.
To you.
Yeah, it's very important to me what people think. Like generally, if people think, I don't want people to think I'm a jerk, man. You know, because it doesn't send the right message. Obviously, I can't control people's, you know, opinions about
yeah.
me. You know, I'm in the public eye, so people are always going to think whatever they want to think. But generally, I want to do good every day, so that it sends a good example. Also to young people, you know, I get a lot of young people's appreciation and that is probably the most fulfilling thing ever for me, you know, is when young people see that, you know, that they could actually be like me or achieve at least something like what I've achieved. So for me, that is very, very important.
If you weren't doing what you're doing at the moment as an artist, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't a professional artist, I'd probably be in the soccer field, man. You know, maybe somewhere in the world now, or you know, playing the PSL. You know, that was a big part of my life too. You know, and I think, to be honest with you, I do believe that a lot of my discipline comes from having been a soccer player and having played at the level that I played at. You know, because I went very far. You know, I played, you know, development soccer for Vets University, which is a PSL team.
Ooh.
Jomo Cosmos, which is a PSL team now, you know. And I learned a lot about what it means to be in a team, like in a group
teamwork.
Of people, you know, teamwork. And also I learned a lot about what it means to be professional, to be disciplined. Because with soccer, yeah, bruh, like everything is controlled, man. Once you're with the team, you can't just do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're with the team, you guys, you go on camp. You know, you can't be having sex before the game. You can't be drinking before the game. It just does not work out with being a sportsman, you know. And being an athlete has really helped me, I guess, to become the artist that I am today.
All right, when we come back, we continue with Donald. We're going to talk about some of his collaborations, including this one here right now.
Special one, man.
Yeah, with Diamond Platnumz. Diamond, all the way from Tanzania, Dar es Salaam. In fact, I'm told he's here. I think he's in South Africa at the moment.
Yeah, he's in SA right now, just about to release a song with Mafiki Zolo.
Ah, nice one. This time around, appearing alongside Donald. So whose song is this? It's yours.
No. It's Diamond's. A collaboration.
Okay, so does it appear on both albums?
Actually, it's not on any. Actually, it's on my album.
Okay.
It's on my album. But he released it on his side as a single too.
Nice.
Yeah, because he wasn't working on an album at the time when we were working on the song. So, but we basically did the song together. You know, all the costs to make the song and to make the video, we went 50-50. So it's a more of a collab.
It's a true collaboration.
Yeah, it's a true collaboration. Because a lot of people get those differences wrong, you know.
Yeah.
A feature and a collaboration.
It's not one and the same
thing,
right?
Not one and the same thing at all, man. It's like, you know, a feature is something that profiles, is a song that profiles the one artist, and the other one is supporting them on the song. It's like it's making an appearance on the song, you know. But a collaboration is a song that both artists kind of...
Joint effort.
Yes, it's a joint effort to create one song, you know.
Ah,
so,
nice.
And I believe more in collaborations. I'm not very big on features, so that's why I haven't done a lot of them.
This guy is a businessman. We're coming back.
It's O'Neal Africa. Cliff Central. The Josie Urban Trail and Obstacle Run is back on the 28th of May. Challenge your friends. Challenge your family. Enter the 12 or 18 kilometer adventure or 6 kilometer fun run. Whether you want the scenic route or the adventurous route, the choice is yours. With nothing stopping you, it's go time. The Hollard Jura, brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Enter at josieadventure.co.za.
My boys, let's do this. On 1, 2, 3, let's go.
You listen to a real Central. Radio has never been this good.
Radio has never been
this good. A real Oakland Central. Double OC, double OC. A real Oakland Central. Radio has never been this good.
A
real Oakland Central. Double OC, double OC.
All right, so we continue our discussion. We're chilling with Donald, and we're just catching up with him on what he's been up to. Now, I've noticed you've started collaborating a lot more with, artists from the rest of the continent.
Yes.
It's not just guys from here.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
I'm doing this also because I just feel like this is the time, you know. I've done quite a lot in my country. I still have to do a whole lot more in my country. But I'm getting a lot of interest coming from other parts of the country. I mean, yes, man, it surprises me sometimes when I see someone, even here at home, who's from another country, just like giving me so much appreciation when they see me, you know. It just makes me feel like, wow, man. Like, it's so crazy how we don't even know how far the music goes, you know? So I decided that right now was the time, because I'm very weary with collaborations and who I make music with, you know. I'm very careful because, you know, the minute I put my song, I mean, my voice into something, that means I have to be kind of put my whole life and everything behind it, you know.
Yeah.
I can't. You know, I'm not very well. I believe that I have to be a really huge part of it. So I have to connect with it emotionally, spiritually, and otherwise. So it's not just about, you know, being relevant. You know, for me, relevance is like the least of my worries in my career. You know, so that's why I'm doing a whole lot more. And there's some really, really amazing collaborations that I've already done in the studio. Not out yet, but are coming up, and I'm really excited.
Now, looking at your career up to now, you know, we've already talked about the fact that you do sell records. It's something that's on record, that you actually sell records, unlike a lot of artists.
Yeah.
Now, is there money? Have you made money?
Yeah, man. I mean, I have made money, even though I won't be able to tell you how much.
It's okay.
Or
it's
at
okay.
What range. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I'll let you do the math. I've got a licensing deal with Universal Music.
Okay.
And yeah, like till today, I mean, to date we have sold just over 100,000 physical copies from the two albums.
Which is a big feat nowadays.
Yeah, it's quite huge. One album went double platinum and the other one is gold. And we've sold close to about 2 million digital downloads with all the songs I've released. So, yeah, man, I don't know. I don't like getting into the numbers for me generally, but because the most important thing for me is to say that there's a lot of people who have my music.
No, you're not going to get away from music. So, we're not going to talk about the figure, of course, but the biggest check, since you became the Donald that we know, the biggest check you've signed paying for something or someone.
Yo, I pay.
What has
I
been the biggest figure?
A lot of things. Let me see. What could be? Probably one of my music videos.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the biggest check I've definitely signed paying for something would have to be for the music video that I did for the song Never Let You Go, where I'm in the dunes somewhere in like the desert, whatever. And I've got rain and I've got wind like killing me and all of that. That I paid quite a lot of money for that video.
Was it painful signing that check?
It's always painful to let go of money. It's always painful to let go of money, but I don't think twice when I have to make an investment, something which is really important. And music videos for me are a huge part of what I do. So I think if I remember well, this video cost about 200,000, bro. And you know, a lot of people, like when I mentioned that, they don't understand like why a music video for 200,000. Why, you know? Because I mean, in South Africa, you know, videos go for anything from like 30,000.
Yeah.
You know, most videos are shot between 30,000 and like 80,000-90,000 at most. You know. But my videos range between 100,000 and 200, you know. But the reason for that is because my videos have made me who I am. And people know me for my videos. People know my image and everything for my videos. The storylines, the drama that I create in the videos. And for me, there's nothing more important than that. I mean, some of my songs were not number one songs on radio. But on TV, they were the most played videos. You wonder why? Because the visuals, if the visuals work, it helps the song to become something important.
And the biggest check you've received?
I can't remember, man, so I won't be able to tell you. Seriously, O'Neal, nah, man, I can't remember.
So wait.
So I won't be able to tell.
So clearly, there are way too many of them just coming in.
I can't really remember. Ish, man, I can't. Eh?
I feel like you want to tell me, but you're thinking about
it. I wish
it.
I could tell you.
You're very guarded, but you want to tell me. Are you gonna tell me off air?
Nah, I won't tell you.
No, it's cool. You can tell me off air.
Nah.
Now, business wise, away from music, we're seeing artists enterprising now. Everybody's cautious about that career because they feel like it could fizzle out at any point, or the demand might not always be there.
Yes.
Have you considered investing outside music?
Yeah, I mean, I have invested out of music, outside music already. I mean, I've been doing that since I got my big break. You know, it is important to think business when you get into the industry, because it's a lot of things are not guaranteed in this industry. You know, the only things that are guaranteed is that you will decide to go into studio, you'll have music, but whether or not that music is going to make you money is a different question altogether, you know. So I do have other business interests that I don't normally talk about because I don't think it's anyone's business.
Makes sense. Now, relationships, are they harder for Donald, the artist?
Naturally, I think, because our industry is very, very different from other industries. You know, it's very special in that you have to try and be normal in a very abnormal environment. You know, being popular is not normal. That's just my way of looking at it. The fact that you are known by a whole lot more strangers is a bit abnormal for me, you know. And it makes life slightly harder because people are more interested in the ongoings of your life, you know, compared to how they would be interested to someone who's not popular. So being popular is very tough. So ultimately it does affect you having a normal relationship or a normal friendship even. Mm. I mean, it goes beyond just having a relationship with a female, but just having a friendship with, you know, your homeboy,
yeah,
you know, it's difficult to keep those going when you you're famous, because there's just a lot of things that are come into play, man, that disturb everything, you know. But it's workable. Everything, you can find a way to make things work, but it's not easy. It's definitely not easy.
All right, I'm gonna put you on the spot here.
Yes, sir.
We talked about the fact that your career is predicated on pleasing women. It's, yes, something that you are very clear about.
Yes, I am.
In a scenario, imagine yourself in a scenario where in your relationship,
mm-hmm,
your romantic relationship,
mm-hmm,
I'm sure you get into fights every now and then, mm-hmm, you know, you argue.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody who's listening right now wanted to understand how Donald gets himself out of a situation, out of a fight,
yeah,
what is, yeah, your strategy out of a fight?
Yeah,
when
like a quarrel, and we're just, yeah, like, for me, the first thing that comes to mind that says this is the if you really want to get out of this,
yeah,
alive,
yeah,
and with some sort of sanity, first of all, calm down.
Okay,
that's the first thing that I think I need to calm down. If I feel like I'm also just starting to rise a little, yeah, bit, my voice is getting a little bit louder.
So, but how do you calm down?
It's a mind game. You have, okay, to keep. You have to practice that. It's something you won't get immediately. You have to work on it over years. Mm. That every single time someone else starts raising their voice,
yeah,
try not to do what they're doing. So try and keep yours down. So speak calmly. What that does is, it automatically kind of forces them to go down slightly a little bit. Because right now, if we start arguing about something, the minute I start saying, man, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You, it also just kind of gets, yeah, you. You're probably going to stand up too and some, what, man, what? What are you, you know? But if you keep doing that and I'm just like, yo, O'Neal, bro, can we talk like normal human beings or whatever? Like it also just, you also feel a little bit stupid that, man, yeah, why am I so, yeah, there when this one is there? So I think for me, that is the one trick that I use that works most of the times, not all the time. Most of the times is, let me try and calm down so that I don't look stupid. Because sometimes, you know, when you're fighting with someone and you're just going crazy or whatever, and then you're all hyped up. The unfortunate thing is that when you do calm down, when the fight is over and you calm down, you realize, but hey man, I was so,
it was, what if,
it's so foolish. Like you look at yourself and you're just like, but man, I didn't like that guy. Like I didn't like myself in that situation, you know?
Yeah.
So I think to avoid those things, just, you have to try and work on it. And it's not, I'm not gonna lie, man, we're all human beings and, yeah, we all have our problems with ourselves.
Yeah,
you know?
Certainly. What is love?
Love is happiness for me.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the easiest way I can explain love, you know, in one word, happiness. And to go a bit more into detail, I don't understand the concept of saying you're in love with someone or you are in a love relationship with someone, but you're not happy. That concept is just, I'm sorry, man. Like, you know, people say, yeah, you know, love is not everything. I mean, they, you know, people say in a relationship, love is not everything, whatever. You gotta stick it out or whatever. I mean, I do get that. There's always going to be humps.
Yeah.
In any relationship, you've gotta find ways to work things through. But I just feel like the minute you know for a fact that you're not happy, it's probably not worth you staying in it. You know what I mean? So happiness is everything for me. Happiness is, you know, when I do engage in a relationship, the one thing that I would always kind of stress with my partner is, can we find our happy place? Let's work on finding our happy place, man. If we're losing it a little bit, let's come back, regroup, find a way to find our happy place. Because that's the thing. That's why people have depression, man. People are unhappy. People are diagnosed with depression. They have to take pills every day. It's because they don't concentrate on being happy. You know, and I just feel like some people get satisfaction from confrontation, you know, and it's unhealthy for me, you know? And I love health and happiness are two of the most important things to me, and that's why I gym and I try and eat right and I try and keep positive vibes around me.
When was the last time you punched someone?
Punched someone? Yo, I think I got into a fight with my trainer not long ago. Hey, Nelo.
Dude, I'm looking at that guy's size. How is that even possible?
Nah, well, I mean, he's the master. He's taught me. I'm strong now, so I can take him on. But I'm kidding, man. Punch someone, I don't know. I was probably like 9 years old, man. I don't fight. I don't do stuff like that. I think fighting really takes the dignity out of a man. You know, and we don't know that as men we believe that being hardcore and, you know, beating people around is what makes you a man. I'm sorry, but I have a totally different definition of being a man, and fighting is definitely not one of them.
I'm still chilling with Donald. If you just joined us, we're gonna talk about the DVD which you were shooting.
You know, which I'm going to shoot.
Oh, you're going to shoot.
Yeah,
you haven't started yet.
Yeah, I've just announced it and gone to say.
Okay, sadly, I wasn't able to attend the
press conference.
Yeah, the press conference, yeah. Where you made the announcement. You want to just tell us what happened there?
Yeah, man. The Red Mic Experience. That's what it's called, a Red Mic Experience. As you know, I'm known for what my red microphone, and you know, because I am actually the only one that has the, well, not the only one now, but I was the first one to have a special microphone with a different color from the norm, you know.
Okay.
So it's kind of taken a life of its own, the microphone. So I decided to kind of dedicate a part of my career to the Red Microphone. So we starting the Red Mic Experience journey. We call it the RMX era, you know.
I see.
And that's what the DVD is called. It's called the Red Mic Experience, and we announced it on Wednesday to the media. We went on sale to the media, CompuTicket. It's happening on the 19th of August at Carnival City Big Top Arena. And yeah, man, people will get to see me on stage for 2 hours, man.
How many people are you looking at?
It's about 4,000 people. Okay. Carnival City, Big
Top.
So
you want
to
feel?
We're filling that up, and you know, we've got some of the biggest artists in this country supporting me. You know, I don't like calling them opening acts because they could do that venue themselves if they wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
But they're supporting me because, you know, there is that sense of unity in this country right now in the music industry, you know. So, yeah, I've got Ricky Rick coming in to do a set, and I've got Boosie So coming in to do a set too, man. So it's a star-studded affair. Mm. You know, I've got Somizi, one of the biggest brands in South Africa right now, who is going to choreograph the show, number one, and he's the creative director of the show too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man. So it's a movie, as I said to you, you know, this is not going to be another show that people have seen me do before.
Yeah.
You know, and also I've got Paledi Sekgapo of Pals Home, one of the biggest designers in this country, who's been dressing me from day one, basically. You know, he's made me a fashion icon in this country. He's also going to be, you know, kind of like, I would say showcasing on the night, because everything that we're going to be wearing on the night is going to be made by him. So, man, it's a huge affair. 19 August 2016, Carnival City, Big Top Arena. It's going crazy. The tickets range between 150 and 350. So, it's quite affordable. It's for everyone, you know. The most expensive ticket is 350. The most cheapest is 150. Everyone is welcome to go to CompuTicket right now and cop themselves a ticket. And it's going to be a big night.
The logistics of putting something like this together, I mean, you did mention that it's a live DVD that you're shooting.
Yes.
Take me through that process.
The logistics of just the pre-work, like what we've been working on since January this year, because we started basically working on this thing. I mean, for us to get to the press conference in April, there's a lot of work that's been happening since January. And it's too much work, man. It's too much work. And I mean, when I went into it, I don't necessarily have a lot of experience in putting together a show of this magnitude. But yeah, man, we took the challenge. My company is actually doing the show, by the way, D-Exclusive Sounds, which is a company that I own. And, you know, I've got a team of amazing creatives, man, people who work really, really hard. You know, I'm working with Ogela Communications on public relations, you know. And yeah, man, we're just doing big things. And it's a lot of work to put something together like this. You've really got to be bold to take something like this, start from nothing and make it a thing, you know what I mean? So yeah, man, there's a lot of work that comes into it.
All right, when we come back, we prepare ourselves to wrap up. Here's a song that you did with Euphonic.
Yes, that
it's,
is my...
It's a new single, right?
It's a new single, man, making a lot of waves in the country right now. Beautiful, soulful house music song. It's called Runaway Love with my man, Euphonic.
All right, so we're coming back, hanging out with Donald.
And Euphonic is never late for his gigs. Just please hurry up.
This is a song about the girl I try to run away from my love. I call her runaway love. Keep running, girl. Runaway love.
I've been dreading making this apology. I think
what did you do?
No, this apology is because my listener was expecting Donald to sing.
Oh yes, yes.
But I think this worked out even better. I mean, we're catching up. I mean, we seldom hear from you, Donald.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
because
yeah.
You keep a low profile.
Yes, sir.
What do you do when you're not making music?
You know, I gym a lot. Gym every day, man. I go to movies, you know, with some of my friends or with family.
Do you cook?
Yeah, I cook, but like, hey, it takes a very special somebody to make me cook.
Okay.
You know, so I haven't cooked in a while because I don't have the special somebody. But like, I have fun, man. But I love to be in a confined space, so I love to be with my family. I love to be with my friends, and just, you know, go do, you know, stupid stuff. You know, what a lot of people don't know about me is that I'm very silly, man. You know, I've okay. got friends and we make crazy jokes. I'm just, that's a person I am. I love yeah. comedy. So I'm a really huge fan of South African comedy. Actually, a lot of comedians are my friends. A lot of very famous comedians, like your Skumbas, your David Kao, you know, all those guys, you know, your Donovan Goliath, you know, they're all my friends. And Pop Pops, these are some of the biggest comedians we have. They're all my boys. They give me tickets, front row seats,
so
every single
comedy.
Time. I enjoy comedy a lot because that's how I am. You know, I love to laugh. So I would say that's maybe that what a lot of people might not know about me, man. You know, but I love to live a very simple life. I'm not not very big on, you know, over, what's the word, like flamboyant stuff.
No. Now, I hate having to ask questions like your last words and stuff like that. What is your philosophy in life?
My philosophy in life is, you know, with love, with dedication, hard work, and most importantly, respect, you can be whoever you want to be in life. And, you know, with those four very important characteristics, I don't see how you can fail in anything you want to do, man. Because right now, you know, life is so worth living. There's so much out there that can make you happy as a person, and if you have those four characteristics, you can't go wrong. Love, dedication, hard work, and most importantly, respect. If you respect other people, you it will be easier, in you know, to kind of take on this monster called life. So
are you gonna get married?
I think marriage is very important for any man. So yeah, man, it looks like that might just be.
Okay.
It's very important, but I don't know when though. You know, I mean, I have to first
I saw that coming.
I have to first, you know, find that one special person, you know. You know what the thing with me, man, I'm a lover, man. You know, I'm like that crazy, like, fantasy love type guy, you know. I want me and my partner to be number one friends.
Okay.
To be everything to each other, you know.
Is there any regrets as to, with regards to the one that got away? I mean,
yeah, there's always that one
that
got away. Yeah.
Do you have any regrets about things that you could have done?
I do think about things that I could have done better.
Yeah.
I do think about that, and but because I know for a fact that it does not help to dwell on the past and what you could have, shoulda.
Yeah.
So I don't pay attention to that. Instead, I believe that everything happens for a reason. You know, you do become a better person tomorrow because of what you did today, and even because of the mistakes you make today, you know, help you to be a different person tomorrow, and who you surround yourself. So I would yourself with. I mean, I do apologize for some of the stupid, you know, boyish mistakes that I made to the one
we
that got away.
Those, yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't wanna, but because also you don't wanna, like, you know, keep. Grudges are not good, you know. So you wanna know that, you know, even your exes still feel like you are a good person. You know,
you contributed something positive.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah, man. I don't regret. I just feel like, you know, I'll take those lessons.
Yeah.
Into the future. So whoever's gonna be with me in the future is one lucky woman, man.
How would you like to be remembered as Donald and as a man?
Yeah. As a man, to my family, to, you know, my kids, that I don't have yet, just to make that clear. I want to be remembered as a dignified man, you know, man with dignity, man with class, a man with a lot of positivity, a man who was not scared to go for his dreams. But as an artist, I would like to be remembered as a legend, you know. I do want that legendary status, man. I don't just want to do this thing until, you know, like now and then that's it, you know, move on to something else. No, music for me is my calling. It's the reason why. That's why I couldn't become a professional soccer player. It's because music is beyond just being a talent. It's a calling, yeah.
Donald, thank you very much and good luck in your future endeavors.
My brother O'Neill, thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to be,
man,
at that show.
Yes,
I
you
intend
are. You
to
have
attend
to,
that show.
Definitely. Just make sure you bring your other half. I know you have one.
I'm coming to find one there.
Because there will be quite a lot, brother. Trust me. I'm you know what? I'm expecting about 80% females and 20%, you know, the boyfriends. The ones who just don't want to let them
do
go.
Do they
out
hate on you, though, the boyfriends?
Yeah, no, they do. They do all the time. But I don't hate on them back, man. I love them because I'm not trying to take their girls. I'm trying to make their girls happy for that moment so that they can flourish. I don't know what's wrong with these guys, man.
Donald, ladies and gentlemen, and we're playing out with a song by Donald featuring Boosie, Let It Burn. We out of here. I'm back again next week, Friday. Thank you very much to my producers and all my guests. Rather, my guest who came in earlier on, Gabriel. Big up yourselves. I'll catch you guys on social media.
Central.com.